already. Of, are you speaking to? Oh, you're presenting. Okay, we have Liz Scott Graham. Liz?
Thank you, everyone. My name is Liz Scott Graham. I reside at 2410 Sima Court, San Luis Obispo. And I would like to take an opportunity this morning to tell you about a documentary, 1.5 hour full length film that I am involved with making under the auspices of the San Luis Symphony. We are doing a film for which we will take to film festivals that focus on a man named Bozzo Coroscelli, who I'm most of you know or know about, an artist and music teacher. A little tiny bit of background about Bozzo. Bozzo is from Georgia, in Tbilisi, in the Republic of Georgia, which used to be part of Russia, and is now an independent republic. When Bozzo was 17 years old, his father, who had been a friend of Stalin's, was ordered to come to the prison because his father was to be executed the next morning and by Stalin's henchmen. And Bozzo and his mother went to say goodbye to his father. And the film opens with a scene of the prison in Georgia where his father was executed the next morning. And Bozzo's father was head of the Georgian State Theater, and the family was very involved in the arts, as almost every individual in Georgia is. And the last thing Bozzo's father said to him was, "Son, every night before you go to bed, ask yourself, have I done enough?" And so Bozzo took that as his mantra and left Georgia when things became really bad and walked into the hands of the Germans, spent time in a German prison camp, and came eventually to Los Angeles where he got a music degree and he became a music teacher at Morro Bay High School. This film features Morro Bay on a number of scenes. A large number of individuals are interviewed in this film. And we're in the process of finishing this film. And it is already, previews of it have already been accepted at 2 film festivals. But we need support to finish it. And what I would like to request, at least $1 million, and that money would go to the Youth Symphony and an endowment where the income would be used to pay for lessons or for children to join the Youth Symphony. Did I mention that Bozzo was the founder of the Youth Symphony in 1957 in this county? Thousands of students have passed through Bozzo's tutelage and been inspired by him, Kent Nagano being a Morro Bay resident who's featured extensively in this film. So I think there's opportunities for us to cooperate, mutually benefit each other, and I would like to have that opportunity to come back, and I guess I'll make a formal request to, is it Bridget? Where'd she go? Is that who I make my formal request to get on a regular scheduled agenda?
I would believe it would be Andrea, Andrea, city manager.
Oh, okay. Can I have Andrea's last name?
Luker. L-E-U, is it? L-U-E. It's one.
Not only the city manager, but you can talk about it at the end of your agenda, which is declaration of future agenda items.
Well, that's what majority. I was going to ask her to put it on the future agenda items for next month. Could we do that?
Yeah, I would just caution on declaring it for next month because I don't know what the agenda and whether it's really heavy or not. So we can certainly try for next month, and then she can make the determination of whether it's already a heavy agenda or not.
Okay, thanks, Rob. That's what we'll do. We'll ask Marge to speak with Andrea about when it'll be on the agenda, and she'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions?
Do you plan on doing the same presentation with the T-bid?
I'm sorry.
Do you plan on doing the same presentation with the T-bid, the Morro Bay Tourist Business Improvement District?
That's a good suggestion.
So maybe we can just do it once and combine those two together somehow, so we could try to do that also for you.
That's a good suggestion. Tracy just suggested the business forum also. The business people in the community have a forum on Thursdays.
Okay, and who would I contact there, or would Andrea be the coordinator on that?
No, she's not involved with that, but I'd be happy to give the person who coordinates the schedule your contact information. We have a meeting this morning, as a matter of fact, if you'd like to leave it with me.
I missed the last part.
If you'd like to leave me your contact information, I'll get it to him.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Liz. The minutes for the January 21st meeting, has everyone taken a look at them, and would someone like to make a motion to approve them?
If you want to just take a look at the headings, I can answer any questions that you like as we go down. But basically, it's broken down into a number of phone calls, number of visitors, packets that were sent out, fulfillments, and then maybe I'll get a little explanation about that, our 800 number, and referrals to the businesses through the visitors coming into our center. So if you can see, and we make a comparison at the top of the page, from January of 09 to January 2010, and you can see the number of phone calls have gone down from 2009. Dan, do you have one of these?
Yes.
I just want to make sure. And then a total visitors 1329 in January 2009 and 952 in January 2010. Our website has a huge presence, and a lot of folks, you know, come through the websites. This reduction in numbers isn't reflecting on the numbers total. This just happened to be a slow month, so sometimes there are at least twice as many or three times as many in a given month than there is. So just because it's a decrease doesn't mean there's a decrease in people coming into our town. It's just a decrease. When we look at the total promotions mailings, we have tourist packs and relocation packs. And you can see there's some reduction in that as well. Go down into fulfillments. This is a huge increase, and it has to do with the increase of advertising that has been done by both the promotions and the TBID, Morro Bay, the BID, Business Improvement District. And you can see huge increases. And there's so many, and I've broken down in another handout. Do you all see that handout that I handed out this morning? Actually, we did this last night, so I haven't had a real good chance to go through it all, but the first page is the California region, and it's broken down into the advertisements that have come in from different magazines, and you can see the three that are there, Sunset and Sierra, the California Visitor's Guide. That's what that is. And you can see where they're coming from, Southern California, it's the Central Coast, and Sunset, and Sunset collects them and then puts them into a spreadsheet, and then they send the spreadsheet to us. And then we take that spreadsheet and then put labels, and then we go through filling whatever the requests are. And some of the requests are just maps, and some of them are just basic things. And then there's also relocation packages. So this is all the fulfillments that we have received, and this is just for January. There's a couple of thousand more sitting in the back that we've just gotten, so the increase is huge. And then the second page are the all from all of the other areas, and you can see the states. And for those of those who don't remember all those abbreviations, I included in the very back the abbreviations of all of our states, just in case you had some questions, whether or not were they, because I did have a couple of them here. I was going, who is that? So you can see the total, just for the total number was almost 1,100, and that was just for January. And like I said, there's a couple of thousand more, and more coming in all of the time. So the advertising is working. So I thought perhaps what we might do is on a monthly basis, I might include this and just to show you where they're all coming from. So it shows a little more detail about how effective, you know, our advertising is and how effective Tom Jones' placements are, because it's really key on where these things go. And
it's very enlightening to see where the states are. Also, I might comment on that the size of the ads as well as the new creative is obviously having an effect. So then, thank you, John.
Thank you. if I have that. Yeah, I do. This is the new. Let's see if I can get right to it. Yeah, this is the ad right here. This was an ad that actually San Francisco had. Right, John?
Mm-hmm.
Right, San Francisco had this ad, and they decided not to fulfill their ads. So John scooped in on it and got it at a discounted rate, and it's a full-page ad right across from the index, which is just absolutely key.
And last year we were running one inch by one column or something. We were running a very small size.
Yeah, and we were pulling in still fulfillments. I mean, we're doing pretty well, but...
But that's a dramatic increase.
This is just huge. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's huge. Our staff is just working like crazy trying to get these out, you know, on a timely basis. So, you know, when you're talking about...
And which $23,000 still sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but that is the chief fulfillment piece for all of California, and it gives us an opportunity to get a lot of international travelers. And the BID, as you recall, paid a portion of that, and the city promotions paid what they were normally going to pay for a small ad, which was about, I think, about $6,000. So it really worked out well with combining our budgets and our efforts.
So you can see the increases since they have put these increased ads. This is from fiscal year 2010. We're looking at 4,600 different fulfillments that have come in, and that's just huge. So we're going to see the effect, and it's going to come fairly soon. And then the 800s numbers are basically where they are picking up our 800 number. It's difficult sometimes when you have 25 people coming in at one time to ask this question. So sometimes we miss some of the phone calls where they're coming from. But we've really made a diligent effort here. So you can see there's a number coming from different areas, from the internet, from the directories. You can see the different headings where the 800 numbers are coming from. And then, of course, referrals. Referrals reflect when visitors come into the visitor center, they ask for hotels, they ask for restaurants, they ask for activities, real estate, all of the different businesses in our city, in our community, and our staff is, they never give one, of course. They always go through and they try to find out what they're really looking for and then tailor it. Because what we do at the visitor center also is that once a year we go through every single hotel so we have a better feel of what every hotel looks like, what it feels like, and then we do the same thing with restaurants. And we try to do this with all of the businesses. As a matter of fact, we're going to be doing that here shortly. So everyone knows in the visitor center what all these businesses are offering so we can tailor the request to the three or four businesses that they want to visit. So this reflects basically the number of businesses that have been referred to in January. Any questions about any of this so far? No. The second one page, you'll see the 800 breakdowns, and you see the. Also, the California is broken down into four areas. That's why we did the same thing and break it down for you. We're going to give more and more stats because now we're getting into a lot of activity in the visitor center, and so I want to make sure that we define where everything is going and how effective everything is becoming.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Peter?
Yeah, and then we have tonight on the chamber side, we have a mixer tonight. It's a special mixer. They're all special, but this particular one is at the Morro Bay Aquarium. Dean and Bertha, John, all have been in business for 50 years, and this is their 50th year in business in Morro Bay. So they're having a mixer. I hope everyone can come down. It's 5:30 to 7. And say thank you to Dean and Bertha for having a business here and a successful business for 50 years. We also have coming up next month, March 13th is the Chili Cook-Off and Beer Fest. It'll be at the Community Center. It's a fun event. We're a sanctioned stop for the International Cook-Offs Association, the ICS. That's a big deal because we become a location, a destination location for a lot of these professional chili cookers, and we're starting to get a large number of them coming in. Now, we also have positions for people who have a special recipe that want to be entered into People's Choice. So there's a lot going on this chili cook-off festival that we're having. So don't forget, Community Center, March 13th. We have also this weekend is one of a business been in for about 20-some years, a miniature cottage. They have a festival coming, I believe it's at the Community Center, and it is the 20th and the 21st to support our local business in their industry, and this is a very unique industry, and if you have grandkids or kids, bring them in there, but bring your checkbooks because it's they're going to fall in love with this stuff. It's wonderful. I did that with my grandchild, and she has a whole new setup now. It's really interesting world, miniature fixtures and houses and things. And then, of course, we have the fundraiser Follies. That is the 26th, 27th, the last Saturday in February. Going very well, as a matter of fact. We sold out tickets at the Visitor Center already, and we have a full lineup of tickets. So, I mean, it's really grown, and some great talent here this year. So that's all I have, Teddy.
So our invoices, which take about a lag to get from the publications, we're about 2 months behind on our reporting, so this just gives you a snapshot of what's been committed to this point. And again, because of the BID, we did front load our budget a little more than we normally would have in past years because we wanted to get that effort off to a good start, and we knew the BID would be coming in at another point in time to pick up the slack of the advertising that we wouldn't be doing in the spring. That's not to say that we don't have efforts going on into the spring. As you can see, we have Sunset in March and a few other things happening as well, like Travel 15 Beyond for the spring. So we still have quite a bit that we're doing, but we're on target with our budget. In fact, I wanted to ask the committee to make a few adjustments. We're kind of at a time where we look at some categories that we've put money aside for, and now's the time to look and see if we're going to need those funds. The rack cards, I talked with Peter about those, and it sounds to me like we have quite a few rack cards still available for our trade show outreach. Also, the radio remote, I had been hearing from some people that while they felt like it gave us good exposure, they didn't really see a lot of relationship to business from that. And my proposal would be to move some dollars, or move the dollars from the radio remote and the local outreach, say maybe 2,000 of that, and move that in, and also the rack cards, which would be 6,000, 3,000, 2,000, and move all those into the LA Times website campaign, because in a moment I'll show you the website results and how we did with the LA Times. The LA Times has become our number one referral source over the county VCB, over even visitcalifornia.com, the ad that you just saw come before you. So it's really worked well, and we really don't have enough money in that category, $1,000, which is left over if you see under website advertising. It's really not enough to do anything with the LA Times. So I was hoping to get permission to move those dollars into the LA Times, and which would give us a total of $12,000, and I could go back to the LA Times and do a similar campaign to what we had done in the winter and propose that for spring. And basically what that was we sponsored the travel page. We ran some banner ads on the travel page of the LA Times. We sponsored the Central Coast section of that, as well as we sponsored a couple of travel blogs. And that combination of everything that we did, I think, is what...
Local outreach. What?
You know, we had originally put that aside just in case there was a particular event that we wanted to support.
So you had nothing specific?
No, that was just really earmarked funds just in case we had something come before us, and I don't see that coming. And I will also tell you that the BID still has a considerable amount of funds left available to them. I mean, they purposely put about $90,000 away in a contingency budget for two reasons. One, they wanted that flexibility, but also they also wanted to make sure we did our, you know, we fulfilled the collections with the TOT, and it looks like from all the projections we're going to meet what had been proposed to collect. So it's not to say that, you know, we wouldn't have an opportunity to to do some of these other things with the money. Our budget for this for the promotions committee is pretty lean now, so I just thought if we wanted to have one more effective campaign for the spring, that would might be my suggestion, is to move those dollars. Because as you'll see, when I think I emailed out all the, you probably saw the website stats that I emailed the other day. If you look at top referral source, you'll see number one is LA Times, number two is LA Times Travel, and then it goes on down from there. So it's been really effective for us.
Is that something we can discuss now, Rob, or should we put that?
You can discuss it now.
We can discuss it now? Well, while we're on it, how does the committee feel about that?
Well, I have a couple questions for John.
Sure.
Regarding the impressions, how are those calculated on the LA Times?
Is it
a rotation or is it a static click through? Or
it's a basically we're on a set period of time, so we give them a deadline. So we have enough impressions. We're on long enough and short enough to have value to that. But basically, their window's about a 3-week window, because with the LA Times, you can quickly get 250,000 impressions.
Yeah, and I guess I should clarify, maybe be a little more specific about the impressions. There's different ways to calculate how an impression is captured.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question would be, is it something that's an animated impression? So every time it shows up in a queue with, say, 50 other ads, that's considered an impression? Because I'm just curious, like, if you know how, because it's like advertising in a magazine. You could, you know, it's based upon subscriptions.
Right.
You know, you get onto the web, it's based on impressions, and if they're speeding up, for instance, the impressions,
mm-hmm.
somebody might not even actually be looking at it.
So, right.
You know, impressions aren't necessarily as effective as a click-through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, these would be when they appear on the site, eaten up pretty
sure.
quickly. But I have a pretty good relationship with the rep there, and he has always sort of been there for us when we had small budgets and big budgets. And so he pretty much protects us as far as how the rotation goes and pulling us on and off, so we still have some presence. But I know when that campaign ran, we know it was working in one way, because we had calls from San Francisco Chronicle, the San Diego Union paper, all of the newspapers seeing the banner ads on the LA Times wanted us to advertise with them. So at least that's one judge of how it works.
Another question, John. You had mentioned that the ad was placed on the travel page in a couple blogs. Do you know which blogs within the LA Times?
No, I can get that full detail
yeah.
for you.
Unfortunately, I don't have a report, so.
Yeah. Basically, what it was is it's a travel blog. There's about three or four different categories that the LA Times has by demographics. So they start with like a 20-something blog, empty nester blog, and we were on a blog that was more of our target, which is more of a mature audience. They have some that are like the more Hollywood, you know, related, more avant-garde, and then they have more that are conservative. And what we were on was predominantly the destination blogs, where people took trips and talked about them.
Okay, thanks.
Just to make a clarification, John, I think a meeting or two ago, Heather asked for, and you said you would probably get someone up here to give the committee a definitions, terms of definitions, all these click-throughs and what each one of them means on that report, because it would, I think, open our eyes to how things are done and what each definition and term means on that report that you give
yeah,
us on
what
the
I
dashboard,
can,
that report that you
right,
give
Right. What I can do is, in our next meeting, Rick Turton, who is somebody that I've hired to help us along with that, somebody I've worked with Pismo for a number of years, he attends the BID meetings. I can just have him come.
I think that would help.
And
it would help
go through the research report.
It would help Daniel and the rest of us to all know the actual terms. So when John says something, we know exactly
yeah.
what he's talking.
Yep.
What he means. Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Yeah. On the subject, or on the LA Times subject, you know, I think we've gotten a good response from this in the past. We know that LA and San Francisco are markets where we have a higher average spending per person, and they're far enough away where they've got to spend the night. I'd much rather put the money into that. You know, if we can take it out of these other areas,
is $12,000 enough to do that?
I think so, and I could even go back to and look at the BID budget
yeah.
and see if we can use some of the BID money to leverage that too.
That's a good suggestion. We have quite a bit of coverage in Southern California now, and with this little extra help, maybe a push from Northern California would help.
Hit the northern markets a little more, but I also know, didn't one of their newspapers fold? Was
Examiner.
It the Examiner?
Some time ago.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I think about, well, what about the Chronicle? But I think the Chronicle's been shrinking a little bit. I think a lot of people do actually pick up the LA Times or the New York Times.
I think the LA Times has been more progressive in developing an online presence. I think they realize, and they realized, I think, quicker than some, that this is the way it's going to go. I mean, people are going to subscribe to the Los Angeles Times online as opposed to pick up the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And they have a pretty sophisticated program. And frankly, part of it is the relationship I have with this rep who I've worked with years. He will give us more, I think, than we might get from the Bay Area just because we don't have that good of a relationship because we haven't spent those dollars up there.
Peter?
To add to that is that we just came back from the L.A. Travel Show this last weekend and brought thousands of pieces of material and literally handed them out within a day and a half. A lot of folks. And just, I won't go into a lot of detail about this, but we had a drawing for a free hotel and stay in Morro Bay. We have almost 900 people who came up to and filled out a little card, and so we have all those names and addresses. And our staff actually talked to almost 2,100 people. It's huge. There were three and four deep, and we actually shared a booth with Jim Allen from the Hearst Castle, which really enhanced our ability to start talking to people, and people were very, very interested. Even though we were in between two other destinations in California, they were sitting, and of course that's how you work a booth. You don't sit, you get out and bring people out. But they were sitting back, and nobody was going to their booths, and the individuals that we had, Sharon and Rochelle, I'd be very aggressive, and they were bringing people in, and because of that, we spoke to 2,100 people. Truly, that's, you have no idea unless you've worked these things how many people that really is.
I think the question before us then is, do we want to allow John to transfer some of the funds from the rat cards and the local outreach to a Southern California LA Times campaign? Is that basically what the question is? Does someone want to make a motion to that effect?
I move that we transfer the funds from, what would it be? It's from the cable and network television and radio and the rack cards to the website.
Well, analytics, as most of you are aware. And we're looking at website response increase over a month. We were up about 20%. And I've got more detailed information. And for both Daniels, I didn't have your emails. So what I'll do is when I get back to my office, I'll email you the detail on the web stats, and then the following month, as we talked about, I'll have our web guru come and kind of go take everybody through the reporting that we do. But I can give you kind of the overview, and I'll send you guys a copy too, so you can go through it. And if you have any questions, feel free to call me or email me, whichever is more convenient. But basically, our website unique visits is up. We're up about 1,000 from December. We're seeing a steady increase, which is good, and which is usually actually it's a little better than we normally would see as we come out of a winter month, but we start seeing a progression, as everybody recalls, as we start coming out of winter into spring, we get more website inquiries. But 75% of the of those coming to the website were new visitors. 25% were returning. We average time on the site was about 3 minutes. We had direct traffic of about 15%, referral sites was about 17%, and search engine optimization, or people coming to us via search engines, was 68%. And our top referring URLs, as I mentioned, was the LA Times. And it's interesting because if you look in October, we had 304, November, we had 358, and in December, we had 280, and in January, we had zero. And in January, we were concluded our campaign, so it's pretty obvious that that was direct relationship. So we had a total of about 1,000 referring, and then in addition to that, and that's latimes.com, but then the second category was travel.latimes.com, which was another website that we were on, and we had about 400 there over the course of that campaign. The next one that's fairly substantial is visitcalifornia.com, which is, again, the state website, which we also have an online campaign going on. And I think with the ad just appearing, I think we'll see even more from that. But we had 657 there. The county VCB has produced 228, and I've talked with John Sulu about that because he was concerned, and we're going to try to find out why we're not getting more referrals from our contribution to the county. What's interesting too is Hearst Castle, just as far as what people are looking at, calendar page continues to be very significant. The lodging page is number one, which is good. And activities also is one that's is important. If you look at the city's breakdown too, we still have the San Luis Obispo itself is the number one city that people are coming to, and that's predominantly where people are checking on events and different things. And that's pretty common to find that the local, you'll have a heavy number for the local visitors. But followed right behind that is Fresno, and then close behind is Los Angeles, which again sort of substantiates what we're talking about with trying to hit this Southern California market. And below that is Bakersfield, and then followed by San Francisco. And then San Diego appears, as well as Sacramento, and then on kind of down the line. So I'll go ahead and pass this around for the benefit of the ones that didn't get this. But
John, I had a question.
Sure.
You've got San Luis listed twice, Los Angeles listed twice, San Francisco listed
twice. Yeah, I don't
twice.
Know.
I assumed maybe that had something to do with outlying
that
areas.
That came up yesterday at another meeting where that anomaly occurred for another client, and there was no explanation. So I have to find out why that duplicated.
So we don't know whether we can add, because the numbers are different.
Right.
So it'd be nice to be able to
right.
add
I'll find out
rather
what,
than
what that why
okay.
that reporting came out that way from Google. But it possibly could be another category. It could be another part of LA. I'm just guessing on that, but I'll find that out because that was one question that I had too.
John, I have a question regarding the actual funneling. I know this is relatively new, switching to Google Analytics, but
right.
I don't know if there's a plan for that to funnel folks or keep track of what folks are actually those conversions, basically. So, for instance, you know, if they're getting to the website is one thing, but whether or not there's opportunities to convert them, you know, through you know, some sort of a transaction, and the transaction could be a request for information, similar to what Peter was referring to earlier.
Well, we do have whenever we run a campaign, we're able to track that, but we don't have any purchasing. It's not like a hotel where they're going to make a reservation. We do have the ability to. We're going to get a more sophisticated report, which we've done for another client, to look and see how many referrals go to the hotels from the main site. And then actually what we can do, and this is going to depict the biggest, as far as website visits is really what we've been looking at in the past. And it's difficult when you have a destination, when you don't have any real purchasing going on that site. It's hard to go back and find out the conversion rate.
Thank you.
I do think the amount of time people spend on the site, though, and you are tracking that.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think thinking about the numbers, when you look at the places that have a small number of visitors to the site, it's a larger number of minutes that are spent. And so I think when you look at the large number of visitors and the small number of minutes, it's because, yeah, some people are going to click through, but there's probably some people who are spending 10 minutes or 15 minutes looking through the sites and planning trips and things like that. So
right.
I think it's kind of hard to tell, but I think knowing that people are actually spending time,
I think in the end, it all determines on when we add up the sales tax, when we add up the TOT tax, when the hotels look at the occupancy rate. I think that's the end result of the tracking, because that's where it all ends. I mean, if our TOT tax doesn't go up, our sales tax doesn't go up, the occupancy in the hotels don't increase, then something's wrong. But if it's all, it's difficult, I think, to isolate one particular website or one particular medium and put the onus on that. How many did that develop? Because it's a whole package, it's a whole basket. Is it not?
Right. It's always a challenge when it's an individual property or business. It's much easier to track. But again, one of the things that we've done both with the BID and with the city, and just what you agreed to do just a moment ago, is do more online advertising, because online advertising, and whenever we do like an email, we buy an email newsletter list from the LA Times, we can track that to find out how many emails were sent out, how many were opened, and then how many people clicked through to our site. So that, I mean, it's much more trackable. And when Peter talked about the, which is great, I mean, to get all those mailing envelopes or the labels, that's only a percentage of people who just wanted to be fulfilled that way. You've got to imagine that the majority of the people are going to our website, and that's where it's driven that. But just a comment about switching over to Google Analytics. In the past, we were on Urchent, which would give you bigger numbers. So if we looked at what we were doing with Urchent, and I think Heather brought this up because it looked like our web stats had gone down. But what Urchent does is it reads all. I did email this out to everybody, but I just thought I would bring it up. This was an item that was written in the Orange County Register, and it talked about golfing in Morro Bay, and it was a nice article, and I'll just pass that around for, I don't have copies for everybody, but feel free to take a look. And again, I did email that out, and once I get your guys' email, I'll give you all the refreshers of everything. Did I give you a copy of this, Bob? As you recall, we did the, this was for the BID. They purchased a board that's on Highway 101 right before 41. And to be honest with you, once we got it up, we weren't really happy with the way the design came out. And I was able to get the billboard company to reduce the cost by half to reinstall the vinyl and produce the vinyl and then reinstall it, which was about $250. And then I didn't charge anything for our new design and the time it took to do that, because what we had before, if you recall, was the picture logo of Morro Bay. And while it looked good on a computer screen, it didn't look very good on the board. And I drove by both during the day and at night, and I wasn't happy with it. So we now have this new look. And we weren't really able to change much of the design to get half off from the billboard company, so we just basically concentrated on making everything a little bolder and then going with the Morro Bay.
Are the ads still going to have the pictures, or are they going to the yellow?
No, this is the way the board will look. We took the pictures out.
No, I'm saying
out.
The ads that have that same
graphic. Yeah, the ads
graphic.
Will. Yeah.
The ads will change or won't change?
Won't change.
When is that going to take place? When are they going to change it?
It should have happened fairly. I don't know if it's happened yet, but it was all processed a few weeks ago, so it should be up. So I think it just made it better. And I'll pass this around. This is the Central Coast Tourism Council, the CCTC, and this is probably the best book that I've seen them do in probably 10 years, and Morro Bay does have a presence in there. We bought a small ad, but we have a nice editorial in as well, and I'll clip this where you can see it, but and when we go to trade shows, Peter, you'll recall that we use this pretty extensively. This is the, and it's got a really nice map in it as well, so just everybody see that. And as far as the next big news that I have is that we're live with our new website. We went live yesterday.
Is that the advertising agency report also?
Yes.
Okay, we got them all in one. Public relations subcommittee, did you guys have a meeting? No meeting for them, and the website subcommittee also did not meet.
Could I talk a little bit about the PR thing while you're on that subject? I can just give you an update.
PR, okay.
Yeah, for the...
Sure.
I think there was some discussion, and the BID seemed amenable to this, is to, similar to what we did with the website subcommittee, maybe have a couple of our subcommittee members from the PR subcommittee join that group. And so I think that we'll talk about that at our BID meeting and see if we can make that happen. I think that was a good suggestion, and that came from here. And then what we're doing basically right now is we're working on short-term and long-term leads for PR. Long-term being something that's 3 and 4 months out that would take that long to get the publication to put that article in, say like a Coastal Living or Sunset Magazine. They're usually 3 to 4 months out in what they would run. Short-term leads would be more like a newspaper, radio, things that could happen within 48-hour period. And those are predominantly events like the Chile event that Peter spoke about earlier, we would be doing PR releases in the Valley for that and down in Southern California. But those would happen more of, say, 2-3 weeks out. And that's what we're working on now. We're also looking at possibly getting a, and the BID would be paying for this, a clipping service, which we've never had before. So if an article runs, we would be able to determine when it ran and have somebody fulfilling that for us. In the old days, those things cost about $10,000 or $15,000 a year to have that, and now it's down to a couple hundred dollars a month to get one, just because it's so much easier with the internet to be able to find those articles, as opposed to in the old days somebody literally going through all the newspapers and looking and cutting them out with a pair of scissors. They don't do that anymore. We are going to have the Kite Festival is going to be featured in Westways, and that's going to be in March, and that's a tribute to Peter's crew as well. Rick did a lot of hard work to get that in, and that should be a real nice plus for our Kite Festival, and that should be out probably. I guess that's probably out now.
Okay, thank you, John. Artistic Review Subcommittee. We're going to have to get subcommittees. Okay, did you meet? No, okay. Okay, we're moving on to unfinished business, and that was a discussion of the purpose and future of the Community Promotions Committee. I know Heather had some concerns about our committee and where it stands in relationship to the BID and where we were headed and what we felt our focus was going.
I feel that we have many different levels of advertising to consider, and with the BID group, obviously, they're pushing our community, but they're primarily focusing on lodging, and that's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. And I think promotions in the past has probably tried to do it all. Let's push Morro Bay as a destination in terms of staying over several nights and spending weekends and all. But now I think with the BID getting going, we have more opportunities to look at different places, different ways to spend advertising dollars to bring people in for different kinds of purposes. So I would not like to see Morro Bay lose the promotions committee, but I think as a group we need to maybe retarget a little bit. Think about who we want to be, what we can do. We have the Merchants Association is doing a lot of local advertising campaigning, just with local papers and, you know, bringing people in. That's a really good target audience. The Chamber is doing so much with the Visitor Center and the fulfillment of all of these inquiries. And I think this group can still be working to push the events, push the kinds of activities that go on all year round, not just in the summer. So I don't know. I felt like there was a need to kind of pat ourselves on the back for having gotten this far, but then also to refocus where we want to be continuing to put our funding. Rob has something to say, I can tell.
Well, I think it's an excellent discussion. I mean, you know, it's we're coming up on our first year of having two of these boards, and you have two new members. You know, one of my first things would be to meet with both two new members, go over some of the Brown Act regulations, but also show you the bylaws, and maybe it's time for the whole board to look at your bylaws and maybe redefine now that you know where you're going. I think the joint meeting, we've discussed it as a staff level. It's just finding the ability of finding when we can get city council to do that. So I know that's on the radar to have a joint meeting to regroup now when it's getting close to the year. You know, the T-BIDS budget will be reduced because it goes from 3 to 2%. And no TOT is planned for June, so there wouldn't be any increase unless they did that in November. I think we always envision that the discussion, you know, there's been some positives. I always state that we are far, far ahead of the other cities that incorporated a T-BID in working together and figuring a way how both boards can work together. So maybe for next month, that would be to bring back those bylaws and have you look at those closely and see, you know, is that really what we're doing? Is that what our envision is? And then possibly having that meeting with council and then meeting you again and coming back with what you think would be recommendations to council.
Could we see that bylaws, or everyone in the committee has a copy of those bylaws?
Yes. The bylaws are on the city
webpage. They're on the city webpage. We can all look at those.
Because that was my question. Are we going to rewrite the bylaws or rewrite the mission statement? And if you look at the bylaws of ours and the BID,
they're pretty close,
other than ours is more wordy and has a lot more stuff in it than theirs does. But I think ours was written a long time ago.
And without the BID.
And without the BID. But, you know, to me, we all need to look at the bylaws. And
the one big difference I see in the two committees is that this committee is sort of the gatekeeper and the watchover of the cities and the taxpayers' money that the city spends. The BID watches over their own money. And they're not concerned, they're not spending taxpayers' money, they're spending their own money. And they can spend it in different ways. We have more constraints because we're spending taxpayers' money. So we have to be a little more careful what we do.
I just had a couple of feelings on it. I think that, and this would just be how I would just maybe offer a suggestion, in working with other councils and over the years with this council, I think most would like to have, when we have that joint meeting, for us to have a little direction on where we would like to go first. I think that they would prefer, rather than simply asking them, where do you think we belong, I think it would be incumbent upon this group, and I would suggest even maybe a workshop, publicly noticed workshop, that, or if we had, say, if we scheduled this for the following meeting, because I think we're going to have to do it fairly soon, because in the past, we've always had to make a case to retain our budget, some years to get more, but I think the reality is we probably want to maintain that. And there's been a lot of good discussion as far as possibly taking care of the visitor once they're here and fulfilling that experience as far as activities and dining and all of those things that the BID cares about, but frankly, you know, it's the stakeholders that are paying, then it's the hoteliers. And they have to first put them as a priority. But that's not to say that people only come, think we can be, and how this is going to be important to the revenue of the city, and go to them with that. And that might be the time for that joint meeting, and possibly a staff report prior to that, so they have time to look at that and understand what the committee does. Because in the past, and I think Heather brought this up, when Ed Biagini was alive, you know, we had a pretty good lobbying force to retain the committee and have that budget, and I think we've got great people here that can take that charge. I think we just have to sort of have a kind of a brainstorming session first, and you know, maybe even have a facilitator that would come that's neutral, and I'm sure we can find one that would, you know, cut everybody's opinions of where we can go and what we can do. But Rob's right, I mean, the budget's going to be reduced, and if we wouldn't have the promotions committee's budget and not have the BID budget, we're going to be pretty close back down to where we were. And I worry about being competitive with the county unincorporated area spending $1.4 million. Pismo Beach's budget will go up next year because they missed the summer collections. They're going to have about another $200,000 into their budget. They're only at 1%, but that's $600,000. And then the city of San Luis Obispo is at 2%, so they're over about $1.2 million. And so it's a real, I think we need to really fight for the to retain this committee, because I think the committee is crucial, and I think that the budget's going to be important next year too to have those dollars.
I'd like to just say that regarding the accountability that this committee has to, you know, the citizens of Morro Bay, I think one of the other responsibilities, and this may or may not be defined in the bylaws because I haven't had a chance to see them yet, but is how we as a committee keep Morro Bay's message on task, you know, so in terms of PR, in terms of advertising, in terms of collaboration with the BID or the chamber, you know, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that we're staying on message, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the BID, they have their own message, like you were saying, you know, and they have their own budget. So that's,
you know, I think one of the real important things about this committee is that it represents Morro Bay, all the different sectors of Morro Bay, and I think that's critical that we have that. We don't want to lose that representation of all sectors of business in Morro Bay and Morro Bay's community as a whole. And I think that's a really, really important purpose of this committee and one of the most important reasons of why it exists. But I think John made a really good point. We need to, I think some kind of brainstorming session is absolutely critical and then really focus on what do we want to do. And we present that to the city and the BID and see how they can help us achieve that. Well, rather than going to them and saying, define us, we need to define ourselves, right, and go to them and say, this is what we want from you.
Well, and I think, too, just to comment on the message aspects of it, I think it's a very difficult, precarious place to be with message because, and I'm proud that this committee and the BID's been, and with Peter as well, because we had to bring everybody together and agree that we are Discover Your Better Nature. The branding is what it is, that we didn't have two websites. We were able to make compromises and keep one website for the BID and one for this committee. And I think it's more of a role than a message. I mean, the message could be more related to that experience once you're here. But one of the things, like with the city of San Luis Obispo, I mean, they have two websites competing against each other. They have a promotions committee that's not in walking in step with the BID. I think this committee should be commended, as well as the BID, because we've been working together to keep that one message, so we're not duplicating efforts or conflicting in our message, because I think that would be one of the kiss of death by the council. If they felt like that this is not working in cohesion, then something's got to go. And I don't think that's occurred, and I think that's one of the things that we would definitely talk about as a positive, because with Pismo Beach, their task was a little easier because the city council basically just said the promotions committee is the BID committee. And there were quite a few hoteliers on there, so that was an easy fix, and the website was one. So it made it easier. So that it's a good example to see how, if the committees aren't working together, you know, Tracy, you mentioned that we've got a lot of other groups out there. We need to bring in the Motel Association and the Merchants Association, so we're all sort of working together, because what little bit they spend, if that had some help from this committee, it could grow. And I think that's really where we're at with that. I mean, at least my suggestion would be. But, you know, either you have a light agenda at your next meeting and you make that a workshop, or however you want to do it. I'm certainly make myself available, or if you wanted to have a separate meeting where you had a workshop. But it's probably time to just throw out a bunch of different ideas and see where they land, and then come exactly together and then formulate a proposal to the council and say, this is who we would like to, or our role to be. Yeah.
Would a formal workshop need to be noticed, Rob?
Yes.
So we'd have to select a date among us where we feel we all can get together, have a public notice, and do that.
Right.
Okay. I think sooner than later. Yeah.
Well, how does the committee feel about selecting a date at this time, or do we want to?
I think what John says, there's two suggestions, is you could do it at your next meeting with a very light agenda. Peter could actually do a short update on the visitor center.
There's too much information, Rob. Go on.
No, or you could work on a separate date. And one of the ways to do the separate date to make sure that staff's also available is, if you just want it on a separate date, you don't think you could do both in the same, then Margie or Andrea or Bridget could send out, you know, an email to everybody and work on that date, knowing what rooms are available and making sure AGP is available. So I wouldn't suggest you pick a separate date if that's where you want to go, and let staff work on that and get it done. So first decision is deciding whether to do it at the same meeting as your regular one, or you think it needs a separate meeting.
I'd like to see a separate meeting.
I would too. Because
I would agree.
Yeah, we need to not have the restraints of the time and knowing that you all have to be somewhere immediately afterwards and things like that.
Okay, and I would say a motion directing staff to set up a separate workshop to review the bylaws and the makeup of the promotions committee be set on a separate date, and then we can work on that.
Did you get that all, Marge?
Did
discuss the promotion committee bylaws and makeup of the committee to make recommendations to the city council.
So would it be best to let staff suggest dates to us?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yes, because they have to do that.
Yeah, that way we make sure AGP, because I think it is good to be televised, and more just a workshop, and that's all that would be on your agenda.
Okay. Do I hear?
He's always available.
Of course they are.
Making sure a room's available then.
Do I hear a motion to that effect?
So yes. I second that.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. How about a second?
I'll second that.
She's already got the motion down there. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. Okay. Is there any more discussion on that?
Do we have to select a date for that?
No.
Now?
No.
The city will let us know.
Or is it going to be when the city can find room?
Right. Well, what we'll do is, normally when we do any type of special meeting, we'll go back, we'll coordinate and make sure, find out what date rooms are available, what date Andrea is available. or myself, and then we'll blanket you with an email saying here's the dates are available, and hopefully we can narrow it down to one that everybody's available. I'm assuming mornings is what you're looking for. The same kind of 8 to 10 time frame would be best, or you know, that's what we'll find out through the emails.
Now, will we need a facilitator, or that's going to be just...
You know, they cost money, you know, and I don't think so. I mean, I think you guys could get through it, and if, in fact, it's just you really feel you need one. But I think, you know, it's not a controversial issue. Yeah. You're just going to go through it and see what you're actually, like you said, the bylaws probably haven't been reviewed and need to be reviewed, and you can go through and see what you really believe in and what other things you need to go to in the future.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to new business, and I see we have a presentation from the Harbor Festival. Is that what you are?
I'm
not a saver. No. Okay, Harbor Festival. Nobody's here. Okay. Okay, Saver, you're up.
I'm Josh Heiser, H-E-I-S-E-R, and my company is O'Donnell Lane. I'm working with Sunset Magazine on organizing the Savor of the Central Coast event. There we go. The Savor event is a co-presented event between Sunset Magazine and the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau, and my company, O'Donnell Lane, is actually managing this event. The program is a four-day event. It starts September 30th through October 3rd, 2010. On September 30th, we're going to do a big opening night in conjunction with the Farmers Market in San Luis Obispo. Chefs will take participants through the market, and it will kind of end up, we're doing a big VIP reception in front of the historic Fremont Theater there. Friday, October 1st, we're starting culinary tours throughout the county. Tickets will be, when you purchase tickets, it'll be kind of an a la carte menu where you purchase a ticket for the main event, and then there will be some selections where you can do tours throughout the county, harvest tours, olive oil production tours, and aquaculture tours. We're also doing a dinner in Mission Plaza on Friday night, as well as the Sunset Western Wine Awards Gala. This is the first time Sunset Magazine is actually doing a gala event around the announcement of their Western Wine Awards. And that's up at Santa Margarita Ranch. Saturday and Sunday is a two-day event. The main event is up at Santa Margarita Ranch. It has multiple components. We're doing a big tourism component, a 20,000 square foot tent. The Western Wine Award winners will be doing a grand tasting there, kind of in an Aspen food and wine style format. We have a VIP chefs, hotel chefs will be paired with the wine tasting there, and we're going to have a big bookstore and kind of general store selling Savor related things. In the Central Coast Pavilion, these are big tourism displays. Pismo Beach is doing we're going to build a beach for Pismo kind of in the display. So they're really interactive displays as opposed to kind of your typical trade show type of displays. Chef and Winemaker Central, we'll be doing culinary and wine demonstrations throughout the day. We're close to signing Tyler Florence as our celebrity chef, so he'll be doing things throughout the 2 days as well as on Friday. The California Farm Bureau is sponsoring a farmer's market to meal component. This will sit next to the 2 acre Sunset Victory Garden. There will be a demonstration kitchen there. Farmers will be on hand to answer questions about produce and stuff to our guests. Chefs will kind of walk people through the concept is chefs will walk people through the Victory Garden, choosing some vegetables, kind of shop the farmer's market concept, and then actually cook something from those two things. The Central Coast Marketplace is kind of our taste kind of format. 150 wineries, 15 local chefs. We're also pulling in chefs from throughout the Central Coast and also wineries, so from Santa Cruz all the way down to Ventura. There is a train at Santa Margarita Ranch that will be running around the ranch. We're doing a big work, probably going to work with Cal Poly on doing a backyard chicken display. And then we're going to have a food cart area where you can go and purchase a hamburger or a taco or something. The culinary tours will run both Saturdays and Sundays. The durations on Saturday and Sunday will be a little shorter in the morning, so people can go and do that and then get back to the main event. We're doing winemaker dinners on Saturday night throughout the county. I have 10 winemaker dinners planned. The largest one will be 150 people in Paso Robles City Park. And Sunday, we're doing a big concert and fireworks finale at the Avila Beach Golf Resort. This concert and fireworks will be kind of their big finale, the end of their concert series for the year. We are working with the Harbor Festival, so maybe that's why I was up there. We're doing some, we've agreed to do some marketing support for them. We're going to do a banner ad at the VCB site. And I'm working with Sunset to also link them to the SaverCentralCoast.com site where the ticketing will happen. We'll be running a shuttle between Santa Margarita Ranch and Morro Bay during the weekend to help support the Harbor Festival. Marketing public relations. The public relations is already underway. Sunset, the online launch is a hot button already active on the Sunset site that links back to the SaverCentralCoast.com page. They are going to be doing this co-op advertising tour along the Central Coast where hotels, there's going to be one for hotels and one for wineries where hotels can opt into these co-op ads. Sunset, the big promotional push will start in July following their celebration weekend. They're putting about $1 million worth of advertising behind this event to help us sell tickets. They're going to do a special supplement on the event probably in the September issue. This is our first ad that was produced by Craftworks. This will appear in the Visitor Conference Bureau Visitor's Guide. Sponsorship opportunities. There are opportunities starting at $1,000 from just sponsoring simply a culinary tour or purchasing a banner. There's some booth spaces available in Central Coast Pavilion. You can sponsor culinary demonstrations, winemaker dinners. We have a music stage. There is, in your packet, there is added value. So there's ticket packages and stuff for each of those sponsor packages. I'm also presenting to the TBID today, right after this meeting. So I have some slides just about how you can come in at a bigger level and kind of what we can do to partner with you. One of those things, some of that is you can choose any combination of the other sponsorships to come up $10,000. We are working with the unincorporated county Tourism Business Improvement District is giving us a substantial amount of money, and they will probably be doing a big tourism display. So more, we may be able to work with them to include Morro Bay in what they're doing. We can probably feature Morro Bay in some of the website and ad placements with some pictures. You can see with the ad that we ran or running in the visitors guide that the pictures are pretty generic, but we might be able to place a picture of Morro Rock to try to drive people to Morro Bay. We're doing some buses with Silverado. They'll run between. They run a shuttle between LAX, so they've said that we could put a Saver wrap a bus in the Saver logo and stuff. So there's an opportunity there as well. At $25,000, there is a web link. We can put a web link up on the Saver Central Coast page, and then we can design a major tourism display. And also that we have a gift bag, so it's basically purchasing the right to the graphics and stuff on the gift bag. At 35, one of the things that hasn't been sponsored yet is the marketplace, and also in your thing you can see what has and has not been sponsored. You can also sponsor, put your logo on the Riedel glass. We're working with Riedel as a sponsor as well. Those are two larger opportunities. And then we can come up with kind of, we've been doing packages for everybody that really are specific to them. And we'd just like to have you as part of our team. So that's another presentation.
Thank you, John. Does anyone have any questions?
Just one question. When did you say the magazine advertising was going to begin?
It'll run in the start. They wanted to do it after their South. They have a big weekend in Menlo Park, and so they wanted to start it after that. So it'll run in the July, August, September issues.
Okay, thank you.
Did you say, John, you're talking to our RBID also?
Yes, I'm mm-hmm. doing this next presentation for the TBID right
okay.
at 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
I had one question regarding. Morro Bay does go to the sunset show up in Palo Alto uh-huh. each year and has a booth. So the ability to have a booth, is that the $25,000?
No, that's separate from this event. What we're trying to do, Sunset has for Celebration Weekend given Saver what they called the artisanal courtyard last year. So we're collecting wine and we're going to be doing cheese from the five counties. Central Coast counties in that courtyard, and then they've also agreed to group all of the Saver participants together so we can kind of cross promote those two things.
So I guess the question would be what level, and I'm sure this will come up with the BID as well because they're the ones that have probably the funds to do this, but what level is there going to be actually booths similar to with a Palo Alto, or is it going to be different, I guess is the question.
Oh, you mean at Saver? Yes. So a city can buy a booth space for $2,500.
Okay.
Basically.
And you think that that'll be just from a, and I know it's hard because this event's never taken place yet, so it's hard to compare, but do you think that it's comparable to what we would see in Palo Alto as far as the traffic and kind of a similar type of?
It's a little different customer.
Right.
The tickets for this event, we're thinking the average ticket price will, once you add a couple things in, is going to be close to $300
uh-huh.
For the average person. I think the Palo Alto is $20.
Right.
Palo Alto attracts, I think they had 23,000 people last year. We're only looking for about 7,000 people to attend this event. So it's a little different customer that's going to that is coming to this event. So probably your the number of people by a booth will be vastly different.
Right.
I think the quality of person that will be by a booth here are the people that will come back and stay in hotels and revisit these places that they've come.
Do you think that I know with Palo Alto, I guess the good thing is for Morro Bay is that even though there's local attendance, for us, that audience is our audience because it's Bay Area people. I mean,
right.
It's Palo Alto people. Do you feel like the 7,000 that's going to come, are they going to be predominantly out of the market, more Southern California? Or?
Yeah, so we're, most of the our advertising focus is going to be Southern California, and we figured it's actually Menlo Park. At the Menlo Park event, that's really drawing a big crowd from San Francisco primarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we thought with our cross promotion during that event that we kind of are going to cover that market. So we're going to probably do a lot of our advertising kind of Southern California to get those people out.
Can I just ask one final question? Sorry. As regarding using the logo, and like say if we, as we approach the Saber event in our own Sunset advertising, and we wanted to say something, just this might not be exact message, but when attending the Saber, make sure you visit Morro Bay. Is there any way, are these going to be able to use the Saver logo, or can it be mentioned at least in the ads?
I think it probably can be mentioned. I think that's, we'd have to just clear that with Sunset. Mm-hmm. So any use of the logo has to be cleared through
right.
Sunset.
And
so
I would think that Morro Bay is a substantial advertiser. I would think that they would that would have some consideration too.
Yeah.
That's all.
I have a question. Is there any effort being made to set up tours from Los Angeles in San Francisco area?
There is some effort. We're working with, we're in discussions with Amtrak to run they'd run the Surfliner and the Starlight Express to run a special train that would come and drop people in San Luis Obispo for Saber.
Could they stop right there in Santa Margarita?
Not in Santa Margarita, but they would stop in San Luis Obispo.
Because the train goes right through there.
Right. Yeah, I don't think because there's no way to get them anywhere from Santa Margarita. So
there's no way to
there's
get
no,
them.
There's no hotels in Santa Margarita, yeah. You know. So I think we are talking to like that. We are going to have a very large transportation grid during the event. We haven't done any specific, you know, kind of things that would bring people directly to this event. But
you said you were in dialogue with the Harbor Festival group. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little more about your discussions with them?
John Summer, who's the executive director of the Visitors and Conference Bureau, has been talking to Jim, I forget his last name.
Davis?
The president, David?
Davis?
No, not Jim Davis. He's the president of the Harbor Festival. I'm sorry.
David Owen.
And through discussions, have decided that this transportation plan and the batter ad would be a good effort.
I was glad to see you do that. I was going to comment on that. I was glad to see that you had their ads and you're cooperating with them because they had great concern with this event, and I'm glad to see you guys are cooperating.
Yeah. So, and they're different events, and I think we can cross promote them and to benefit both people.
Yeah, it should enhance both. I have a question. I noticed on Friday, October 1st, you have a tour of Morro Bay oyster beds.
Yeah, so that I added that to that sheet. It came up in a discussion with John Solu that it'd be great to add a tour to the oyster beds. The Friday things are they're 4-hour duration, so it's something that I think we could probably do.
Well, it'll require a boat, so I mean we have we're setting that up now. That's why it was interesting to me.
That's kind of my wish list. Some
okay.
of those are confirmed,
right.
And some of those aren't. So
we're working with them right now with the oyster beds as well as the transportation link of it. And we're putting that together as we speak for tour operators. So, I mean, this would be a perfect combination if we can talk about that.
A
little more detail.
Yeah, the tours on Saturday and Sunday are 2-hour durations, so it was kind of like we didn't know if we could get people here, get them out there, do a shorter duration tour, and get them back up to the event. So that's kind of – I'd love to add that also on Saturday and Sunday.
What an enhancement it would be is right in the middle of the estuary. It would really be an interesting thing for a lot of people to see.
Right. And this whole event wanted to really approach this culinary angle and where all this stuff is coming from. And that's why we're doing these these tours to begin with. So I think people would be really interested.
We can barbecue oysters afterwards.
Exactly.
Any other questions? Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. Well, now we move on to the interesting part of our meeting, the selection of chair and vice chair for the coming year. Nominations are now open.
I'd like to nominate Ed Kroger to be chairman.
I'll second that.
Any other nominations? Oh, my God.
Call the room.
Okay, I guess we have a vote now. Is that what we do?
Normally, Ed, you get elected when you don't come to a meeting.
I know. And I came. I came. Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now we will do our vice chair. Any nominations for the vice chairman?
I'll nominate Bill.
I'll second that one.
He's sitting there.
Any other nominations?
I would like to nominate one of the ladies. And I don't... who's... Tracy. Tracy, how about you?
Can I
do it?
Yeah, she'll chair, I'll vice chair.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
She said okay. Okay, we have a nomination for Bill Stafford, and we have a nomination... And Bill's declining, I take it? Are you... You were still in the running?
I'm not that crazy about it. I think, like I said, I think it should be a female.
Well,
somebody that owns a business in town.
Well, okay. Isn't it understood that Bill's duration is going to be another year?
That
what was decided?
So it's your last year. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
okay, so would you like to be your last year's vice chair? That's the question.
I'll take it, but I still think it should be somebody that owns a business here in town.
You got two more. You got more years, right? Okay, then I guess Bill Stafford will be our, unless anyone has any objections, who wants to vote for Bill Stafford? Bill Stafford's our vice chair. One other thing we need to do.
Thank you.
Oh, we have to vote on it. All those in favor of Bill Stafford?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. One other thing we need to do, I believe, would be to rearrange the subcommittees, because we're going to, we have three subcommittees now. Some of them have members, some of them don't. Some people may want to change. Some people want to stay on the same subcommittee, which is okay. Right now we have the Public Relations Subcommittee. And who's on that? I thought you were on that.
You know, I wonder if we need to either, and I don't know how you do it, whether there's a way to dissolve the subcommittees, restructure,
yes,
rethink what we actually need, because clearly the website subcommittee has been a critical group. The other two, you know, the one artistic review never actually
That was a brand new one. That was
we had coffee.
We had coffee, yeah.
That was a brand new subcommittee that was started, I guess, about...
when the CBIT was happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so... what do we do to decide whether these committees...
I think you've already put the framework in place in that you're going to have a workshop on your bylaws.
That's
and
what
you could
I was going to say.
You could define your subcommittees and repick who would be on them.
That's a very good suggestion. So why don't we just keep that in abeyance until we have our workshops, and at that point we can decide if we want to have subcommittees and what they are. Is that okay? Okay. Discussion of new ideas.
I make one comment, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
I would recommend retaining the website subcommittee for this board, mm-hmm. though, because I think that will be an ongoing effort, mm-hmm. and we do have the two members from this committee that would serve with the BID. The other ones, I think it's a great idea to umbrella that into your workshop, but I think we might still have some work for you guys
We're not dissolving any of the subcommittees. We're just going to decide.
The
subcommittees will still stand until our next workshop, but if there is a website subcommittee meeting, then Bill and I will attend.
And if you believe that they would be ongoing, which I think the website is, because it's always good to be reviewing that and looking at new ideas, that's something that, you know, you could put in your bylaws. Here's our subcommittees in a one-liner, exactly what they are, so then when people move on and forget what exactly does the Public Relations Subcommittee, we don't all just go, well, we can't remember. So you could define them also in your bylaws.
Okay, any discussion of new ideas?
The only discussion I would have is that idea that we will have a group together, and if it could be done before our next official meeting, it would be terrific. And I know that's hard with scheduling and staffing.
I'm sorry.
To have the meeting where
the bylaws
meeting where we come together and review that, look at our goals. Mm-hmm. If we could do that before our next official meeting,
it's kind of up to the city, isn't it?
Ask the city to work hard to do that.
Our goal certainly will be tried to schedule it before the next one.
Okay. Do you have, Raj, all the declarations of the future agenda items that we had for next week? Next meeting, I mean. The next month's meeting. The future agenda items.
Okay.
Yes, if we have them all. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I think the only thing...
strange noises from the back room.
The only thing I remember on there was Liz Scott Graham's presentation, whether we would have time to bring her back.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the only one I know of that was mentioned, was that presentation on Botso.
Okay, well, if there's no other discussion on anything else, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, and welcome to our new members.
Thanks.